Good morning, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. It's great to have the North Dakota delegation here with us again. Okay, so we're going to start with the definition of prayer. As you know, we've been doing a series on prayer, and my definition for prayer is seeking the Lord, entering His presence through Jesus Christ, and having a heart-to-heart conversation with God, guided by the Holy Spirit, that leads to transformation. Now, last week, Pastor Perry talked about the need of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Today, I'm going to be talking about obedience and obstacles in prayer. And the first thing we see in the lesson today is that one of the problems we have is we're not obedient. We don't listen to God's command to seek His face, to call upon His name. In verse 14, we see, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And the problem is we don't seek God's face. We go through our days with God present with us, just as I was saying in Kid Talk, but we don't talk to Him. And He's always available for us. We don't listen to Him for guidance. John 16, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Once again in Psalm 91, He will call upon me and I will answer him, says the Lord. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 86, you are forgiving, God, forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Psalm 9, verse 10, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 10:17, you hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted, you encourage them and you listen to their cry. Psalm 34:15-17, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The problem, brothers and sisters, is we don't call or seek the Lord. We're not obedient to His Word. So how can we expect an answer to prayer if we're not talking to Him and calling out to Him? And the reason is we want to depend on ourselves, right? I got this situation under control, God. Do we really have any situations under control? I know in my life I don't, all right? So we're to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. There was a man who arrived in heaven at the pearly gates, and St. Peter met him, and St. Peter started showing him around. And he was showing the man around heaven, and all of a sudden there was a huge warehouse off to the right. And the man said, St. Peter, I'd like to take a look at that. And St. Peter said, no, I don't think it's a good idea. And the man said, hey, I'm in heaven. I want to go see it. And St. Peter said, oh, okay. So St. Peter goes over. They open the warehouse, okay? And this giant warehouse is full of all kinds of wonderful things, all right? All kinds of great stuff. And he says, wow, this is really cool. Why didn't you want me to see this, Peter? And Peter says, well, I felt that it would make you sad. And he said, make me sad? Why would it make me sad? And he said, this is all the stuff the Lord wanted to give you when you were on earth, but you never asked Him, all right? And brothers and sisters, I'm not talking just material things. But the Lord wants to give us so much more if we just ask Him, okay? And He is there. And since she's here, Roberta, whenever Roberta calls me, she asks me to pray for her, okay? And it's the coolest thing because she knows the call upon the Lord, right? If she's having a problem, she calls me and says, Pastor, will you pray with me? Sure, you know. We all need to be more like Roberta, okay? We know where the answer is, right? We seek the Lord. We seek Him. And we don't have to go through this all by ourselves, right? For all things. Put them first for all things. Exactly right, Roberta. So you got it, all right? But you still have to listen to the rest of the sermon, okay? Samuel Chadwick says, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." The devil trembles when we pray. I believe there's two main reasons why we don't call upon the Lord, why we don't seek Him. The first is pride. Verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," humble themselves. Job 35, "He does not answer when men cry out because of their arrogance, because of the arrogance of the wicked." Matthew 26:39. This is Jesus in the garden. Going a little further, "He fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, make this cup be taken away from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" This is Jesus, the Son of God, praying, and he falls on his face, all right, and humbles himself. Now, if Jesus humbled himself in prayer, what do you think, folks? Yeah, it's a good thing, right? Job 1. "At this, Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head, then fell to the ground in worship and said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart.'" Once again, he fell on his face on the ground. Psalm 69. "The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people." Our pride, our lack of humility, keeps us from seeking the Lord. Remember that song, "Humble Yourself in the Sight of the Lord"? Great song, right? That's what we're called to do, is humble ourselves. And that's not real popular in our society, right? Because we're always right and everybody else is wrong, correct? Everybody going, "Yeah, you got it," all right? We all fall into that trap. There was a man who did. He went to his doctor, and he went to Dr. Dennis, and he said, "Dr. Dennis," he said, "I'm having a problem. My wife can't hear me. She's losing her hearing." And the doctor said, "Interesting. Well, why don't you go home, and when you go home, open the front door and say, 'Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?' And if she doesn't hear you, walk in a little further to the house and say again, 'Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?' And he says, walk in a little closer and say it again. And if she still doesn't answer, walk up to her and whisper in her ear, 'Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?' And then you can see how much hearing she's lost." So the man says, "Man, that's a great idea, Doc Dennis. Okay, so what I'm going to try that." So he goes home, comes in the front door and says, "Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" No answer. So he steps into the family room and says, "Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" Still no answer. Okay. Goes in the bedroom and says, "Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" Still no answer. He sees her sitting in her chair. So he goes up to her and whispers, "Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?" And she says, "For the fourth time, spaghetti." You notice, guys, all the women are laughing, right? And all the guys are going, "I don't get it." What, you know? But that's our pride, right? It's always somebody else, right? We know what's right. And we do that with God, too, okay? But then we end up looking silly just like this man, right? When we finally say, "God, take this, you're right." The other reason that we don't seek the Lord or call upon Him, I believe, is because of lack of trust or hope. Verse 15, the Lord says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." Wow. That's the promise of God, okay? His eyes will be open and his ears attentive to our prayers. That's his promise. That's what he promises us. The problem is we don't believe his promises. We don't trust him. We don't trust his word. In Hebrews 10:22. Paul writes, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure waters." But draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance. 1 John, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us," if we know that He hears us, okay, "whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him." And James 1:5-7 probably describes it best. "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. So we can't say, yes, Lord, I think maybe. Well, no, you're not going to do it. God can do all things, correct? God can do all things. John 14, Jesus says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Matthew 21, Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. Psalm 38, I wait for you, O Lord, you will answer, O Lord my God. Psalm 102, and I added this for the inmates, and I read this yesterday to them as I was praying. The Lord looked down from the sanctuary on high from heaven, and He viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death. With all of these, there's just a couple of scriptural references, right? You get the idea that God wants to have us pray believing that what we pray for, He hears, and He'll take action upon it, all right? So pray big prayers. Don't pray little prayers. We have a big God, right? Right, Melissa? We have a big God. So pray big, knowing that God will deliver. George Mueller, who started an orphanage, or many orphanages, I guess, in England, and George Mueller was very interesting because he would never ask for money from people. He would just pray to God. He wouldn't ask people. Well, he was sailing across the ocean, and he needed to get to Quebec in order to do a presentation. And they hit some really dense fog. So he went to the captain and he said, Captain, why are we stopped? And he said, it's too foggy to continue. And he said, well, Captain, we need to go there. And he said, we need to go downstairs and pray. And the captain says, oh, okay, we'll go downstairs and pray. And the captain's thinking, you know, it's not going to make any difference. We're going to be late getting to Quebec. So they go downstairs and they pray. And George Mueller prays first. And then the captain starts to pray. And George Mueller stops him and he says, don't pray, Captain, you don't believe, okay? But I've prayed, and I believe, and the fog has lifted. He says, I've known my Lord for 57 years. He's never let me be late to an appointment. And he says, the fog has lifted. So they go upstairs onto the deck, and the fog is lifted, all right? Pray believing, brothers and sisters. That what God can, not what we can do, but what God can do, all right? And the problem is we think about what we can do, not about what God can do, right? So pray believing. Another obstacle or blockage is sin. And sin is actually disobedience to God. And we read in the lesson today, and turn from... If my people will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So our sin is a blockage, all right, to God answering our prayers. In John 9:31, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does His will. And then I'm going to be reading some stuff out of the prophets. And when I read this stuff from the prophets, it was frightening, okay? It was frightening to me. Hosea 5. Their deeds do not prevent them to return to God. A spirit of prostitution is in their heart. They do not acknowledge the Lord. Israel's arrogance testifies against them. The Israelites, even Ephraim, stumble in their sins. Judah also stumbles with them. When they go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, they will not find Him. He has withdrawn Himself from them. Wow, how frightening is that, to think that the Lord our God has withdrawn Himself from us, okay, because of our wickedness, all right? And then Zechariah 7. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by His Spirit through the earlier prophets. So So the Lord Almighty was very angry. He said, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. Wow. We expect God to always listen to us, right? But if we're living in sin, and we have no habitual sin is what I'm talking about, brother, sister, and we have no intention of repenting and turning from that sin, God's not going to listen to us, all right? And this isn't me saying this. This is the Scriptures. And we see it time and time again, right? Isaiah 59, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Once again, hidden His face. We want to seek His face, but we don't want to change, all right? And what God is saying here is we're not going to see His face if we don't change, if we don't repent. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's the flip side, okay? If you're listening to God, if you're repentant, pray whatever you want, okay? And pray boldly, okay? 1 Peter 3:7. I added this for the guys. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. What Peter is saying is that sin within our family will hinder our prayers, okay? So guys, if you're mistreating your wives or your kids, okay, if there's some kind of sin we're committing, pardon? Wives too, it goes both ways. It starts in the family, okay? There can be sin among family members, all right? And that needs to be dealt with, all right? So sin is an obstacle to prayer. I think back many times, as you all know, I used to drink 25 years ago. How many prayers I said when I was drunk? I mean, flat out drunk, you know? And I know some of you can relate to this. Well, I'll quit. Just get me through this, right? Okay? Well, the Lord gets me through this, right? And what happens, okay? We'll go right back to it, right? But eventually, I said that prayer in faith, okay? And He answered that prayer. But there's so many times where people are either getting drunk or doing drugs, and they may not be doing meth or crack cocaine, but they're doing marijuana. They can be doing marijuana. They can be getting drunk. They can be hooked on video games, spending hours on video games, pornography, watching pornography on the computer. That's going to impede God hearing us, all right? All those sins, all right? Because God sees everything, all right? Any of those sins can impede God from hearing us. So when we're disobedient to God, that verse in Zechariah is the one that really frightened me. God says, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, all right? And we've all been in those places when we call out to God. But if we have no idea of repenting, okay, according to the Word of God, He's not going to listen, all right? We need to come with contrite, humble hearts, okay? So our sins can be an obstacle to God. It's hard to ask for a blessing when we have no intention of listening to God or to His law, all right? Number three, okay? Another blockage is when we fail to forgive others. Verse 17, as for you, if you walk before me as David your father did and do all I command. So what has God commanded? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go first and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gifts. Mark chapter 11, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Our prayers fail because we fail to forgive. Okay? If you think God's not hearing our prayers, all right, maybe we're holding baggage against somebody. And what happens when we're holding a grudge against somebody? Does it really hurt them? No. It hurts us, right? And it not only hurts us, but it also hurts our relationship with God. George Herbert said, "He who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass." Wow, if we're not going to forgive others, that bridge of forgiveness we want to cross over, it's down, right? We have to be able to forgive others. And I struggle with this just like everybody else, okay? Because believe it or not, people do hurt pastors, all right? Okay? And sometimes it's just really hard to forgive people, huh? Well, today, we're going to reflect on somebody who perhaps has hurt us. I know I'm probably the only one, right? Nobody else here has anybody they're having problems forgiving, right? Not at all. But we're going to pray and pray that the Lord blesses these people and ask that the Lord restores the relationship. Not that we have to live each and every day with them, okay? But that we have to forgive them and pray that God touches their hearts and blesses them, all right? So let us pray. Lord God, we seek Your face. We seek Your face. We call upon Your name, Lord God. We enter Your presence, Your holy presence, Lord. And we ask You to forgive our sins. Open our eyes, Lord, to any blockages we have that's keeping us from You. Anything that's hurting our relationship with You. We don't want anything to get in the way, Lord. Like Roberta said, our relationship with You is the most important thing. We also, Lord, at this time, think of a person that we need to forgive. A person or person, someone we need to forgive. And let go of the hurt, Lord. We ask that You forgive this person completely, Lord. We forgive them completely. We ask that You bless them, Lord. Empower us to truly forgive them from our hearts. And bless them, Lord, and let them know the joy of Your salvation, Lord. Lord God, help us to live each and every day in Your presence. Help us to always seek Your face. Lord God, it's so good to be in Your presence. It's so good to be in Your presence. Do not take Your Holy Spirit from us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.